Page 114. On this page, we have a picture of a number of people working in a garden, with the following caption: Let us practice the principles of personal and family preparedness in our daily lives. Page 115, Chapter 11, Provident Living, Applying Principles of Self-Reliance and Preparedness. Wise and provident living is a lifestyle that builds character and increases our temporal, social, emotional, and spiritual well-being. From the life of Spencer W. Kimball. As a young couple, Spencer W. Kimball and his wife Camilla knew they weren't rich, but they had work and ability. They knew how to manage their own money, living within their income, saving for the future. The Kimballs lived through times of widespread economic difficulties: World War I, 1914 through 1918, the Great Depression, 1929 to 1939, and World War II, 1939 through 1945. Having experienced these challenges, President Kimball concluded, "What I have seen with my own eyes makes me afraid not to do what I can to protect against the calamities." Among the things he saw were the struggles of others. "All my life from childhood I have heard the brethren saying, 'Get out of debt and stay out of debt.' I was employed for some years in the banks, and I saw the terrible situation that many people were in because they had ignored that important counsel. In addition to his bank work, Spencer kept the account books for some of the local stores. One of the shocking things of my life was to find on the books the accounts of many of the people in the community that I knew. I knew them. I knew approximately what their income was. And then I saw them wear it away. In other words, I saw they were buying their clothes, their shoes, everything they had on time." Page 116. "And I found that it was my duty to make the bills at the end of the month for them. And many of them couldn't pay at the end of the month. They couldn't pay even the installments that were arranged for them. And having been reared in a home that took care of its funds, I couldn't understand it. I could understand how a person could buy a home on time, or perhaps could even buy an automobile on time, but I never could quite understand how anybody would wear clothes they didn't own or eat food that they had to buy on time." In his teachings, President Kimball addressed not only financial issues, but also other matters related to provident living, such as personal responsibility, work, and home food production and storage. He said, "Let us practice the principles of personal and family preparedness in our daily lives. If ye are prepared, ye shall not fear." Doctrine and Covenants, Section 38, Verse 30. Teachings of Spencer W. Kimball. We are responsible for our own social, emotional, spiritual, physical, and economic well-being. The church and its members are commanded by the Lord to be self-reliant and independent. See Doctrine and Covenants, Section 78, Verses 13 through 14. The responsibility for each person's social, emotional, spiritual, physical, or economic well-being rests first upon himself, second upon his family, and third upon the church, if he is a faithful member thereof. No true Latter-day Saint, while physically or emotionally able, will voluntarily shift the burden of his own or his family's well-being to someone else. So long as he can, under the inspiration of the Lord and with his own labors, he will supply himself and his family with the spiritual and temporal necessities of life. See 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. As we travel and visit the people throughout the world, we recognize the great temporal needs of our people. And as we long to help them, we realize the vital importance of their learning this great lesson, that the highest achievement of spirituality comes as we conquer the flesh. We build character as we encourage people to care for their own needs. Page 117. No amount of philosophizing, excuses, or rationalizing will ever change the fundamental need for self-reliance. This is so because all truth is independent in that sphere in which God has placed it, as all intelligence also. Otherwise, there is no existence. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 93, Verse 30. The Lord declares that herein lies the agency of man, Doctrine and Covenants, Section 93, verse 31. And with this agency comes a responsibility for self. With this agency, we can rise to glory or fall to condemnation. May we individually and collectively be ever self-reliant. This is our heritage and our obligation. We have placed considerable emphasis on personal and family preparedness. I hope that each member of the church is responding appropriately to this direction. I also hope that we are understanding and accentuating the positive and not the negative. I like the way the Relief Society teaches personal and family preparedness as provident living. This implies the husbanding prudent managing of our resources, the wise planning of financial matters, full provision for personal health, and adequate preparation for education and career development, giving appropriate attention to home, food production, and storage, as well as the development of emotional resiliency. We have been counseled to participate in home food production and storage. The Lord has urged that His people save for the rainy days, prepare for the difficult times, and put away for emergencies a year's supply or more of bare necessities, so that when comes the flood, the earthquake, the famine, the hurricane, the storms of life, our families can be sustained through the dark days. We encourage you to grow all the food that you feasibly can on your own property. Berry bushes, grapevines, fruit trees, plant them if your climate is right for their growth. Grow vegetables and eat them from your own yard. Even those residing in apartments or condominiums can generally grow a little food in pots and planters. Study the best methods of providing your own foods. Make your garden as neat and attractive as well as productive. If there are children in your home, involve them in the process with assigned responsibilities. Page 118. I hope that we understand that while having a garden is often useful in reducing food costs and making available delicious fresh fruits and vegetables, it does much more than this. Who can gauge the value of that special chat between daughter and dad as they weed or water the garden? How do we evaluate the good that comes from the obvious lessons of planting, cultivating, and the eternal law of the harvest? And how do we measure the family togetherness and cooperating that must accompany successful canning? Yes, we are laying up resources in store, but perhaps the greater good is contained in the lessons of life we learn as we live providently. We encourage families to have on hand this year's supply, and we say it over and over and over and repeat over and over the scripture of the Lord where He says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Luke chapter 6, verse 46. How empty it is as they put their spirituality, so-called, into action and call Him by His important names, but fail to do the things which He says. As we become more affluent and our bank accounts enlarge, there comes a feeling of security, and we feel sometimes that we do not need the supply that has been suggested by the brethren. We must remember that conditions could change, and a year's supply of basic commodities could be very much appreciated by us or others. So we would do well to listen to what we have been told and to follow it explicitly. We should work for what we receive. With regard to all phases of our lives, I believe that men should help themselves. They should plow and plant and cultivate and harvest and not expect their faith to bring them bread. Work is a spiritual necessity as well as an economic necessity. Work brings happiness, self-esteem, and prosperity. It is the means of all accomplishment. It is the opposite of idleness. Page 119. On the top of this page, we have a picture of a father and a son working on a small engine in a workshop with the following caption: "Work brings happiness, self-esteem, and prosperity. It is the means of all accomplishment. It is the opposite of idleness." We are commanded to work. See Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Attempts to obtain our temporal, social, emotional, or spiritual well-being by means of a dole violate the divine mandate that we should work for what we receive. We cannot be too often reminded that church welfare assistance is spiritual at heart, and that these spiritual roots would wither if we ever permitted anything like the philosophy of the dole to enter into our welfare services ministrations. Everyone assisted can do something. Let us follow the order of the church in this regard and ensure that all who receive give of themselves in return. May we be on guard against accepting worldly substitutes for the plan to care for His poor in this, the Lord's own way. The Lord's way builds individual self-esteem and develops and heals the dignity of the individual, whereas the world's way depresses the individual's view of himself and causes deep resentment. Page 120. The Lord's way causes the individual to hasten his efforts to become economically independent again, even though he may have temporary need because of special conditions for help and assistance. The world's way deepens the individual's dependency on welfare programs and tends to make him demand more rather than encouraging him to return to economic independence. The Lord's way helps our members get a testimony for themselves about the gospel of work, for work is important to human happiness as well as productivity. The world's way, however, places greater and greater emphasis on leisure and upon the avoidance of work. It is right to work. Every man and woman and child should work. Even little children should learn how to share, to help do the housework and the yard work, to plant gardens, to plant trees, to pick fruit, and to do everything that needs to be done, because that makes strong characters out of them and builds their faith and character. We want you parents to create work for your children. Insist on them learning their lessons in school. Do not let them play all the time. There is a time for play, there is a time to work, and there is a time to study. Be sure your children grow up like you know they ought to grow. Work should be the ruling principle in the lives of our church membership. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 42, verse 42, section 75, verse 29, section 68, verses 30 through 32, and section 56, verse 17. We can become economically self-reliant by saving, avoiding debt, and living within our means. Are you prepared for and protected against death, illness, a long continuing crippling illness of the breadwinner? How long can you go if the income stops? What are your reserves? How long could you make your many payments on home, car, implements, appliances? The first reaction is, we just cannot do it. We can hardly get by using every cent of income monthly. If you can hardly get by when you are earning increasingly well-employed, well, productive, young, then how can you meet emergencies with employment curtailed, illness, and other unlooked-for problems arising? Page 121. You must not spend all you make. Money must be put aside for missions and for schooling for your children. They can assume responsibilities and take little jobs whereby they can also help to raise these funds, and instead of spending those little accumulations, they will save them for these great purposes. It may mean that the parents of today will go without many things that they would like, but tomorrow will come the harvest. Avoid debt. Today everything is seemingly geared toward debt. Get your cards and buy everything on time. You're encouraged to do it. But the truth is that we don't need to do it to live. We wonder what our people will do who have been spending their all and more if employment and income should reduce. What then? Are you living beyond your means? Do you owe what you cannot pay if times became perilous? Are your shock absorbers in condition to take a shock? Plan and work in a way that will permit you to be happy, even as you do without certain things that in times of affluence may have been available to you. Live within your means and not beyond them. Purchase your essentials wisely and carefully. Strive to save a portion of that which you earn. Do not mistake many wants for basic needs. Let us as individuals, as families, and as wards and stakes, learn to live within our means. There is strength and salvation in this principle. Someone has said that we are rich in proportion to that with which we can do without. As families and as a church, we can and should provide that which is truly essential for our people, but we must be careful not to extend beyond that which is essential or for purposes which are not directly related to our family's welfare and the basic mission of the church. Preparedness is a way of life that brings its own rewards. Preparedness, when properly pursued, is a way of life, not a sudden spectacular program. Page 122. We could refer to all the components of personal and family preparedness, not in relation to Holocaust or disaster, but in cultivating a lifestyle that is on a day-to-day basis its own reward. Let's do these things because they are right, because they are satisfying, and because we are obedient to the counsels of the Lord. In this spirit, we will be prepared for most eventualities, and the Lord will prosper and comfort us. It is true that difficult times will come, for the Lord has foretold them, and yes, stakes of Zion are for a defense and for a refuge from the storm. Doctrine and Covenants, section 115, verse 6. But if we live wisely and providently, we will be as safe as in the palm of His hand. Suggestions for study and teaching. Consider these ideas as you study the chapter or as you prepare to teach. For additional help, refer to pages Roman numeral 5 through 9. Given that our lives are connected with family, friends, the church, and the community, what do you think it means to be self-reliant and independent? See pages 116 through 117. President Kimball taught that social, emotional, spiritual, physical, and economic well-being are elements of provident living, page 116. In what ways does spiritual well-being relate to the other elements? As you study the section that begins on page 117, think about how well-prepared you are for the storms of life. How can we become better prepared? What benefits can a garden bring to a family beyond providing food? See page 118. President Kimball said that work is a spiritual necessity, page 118. What spiritual benefits have you experienced through work? In what ways can we help our children learn the importance of work? What do you think the difference is between a want and a need? What attitudes can help us manage our wants? For some examples, see pages 120 through 121 and the stories on pages 115 through 116. What benefits are there in having a budget? What help is available to guide us in budgeting our resources? Page 123. Read the section that begins on page 121. In what ways does preparedness bring day-to-day rewards? Related scriptures. Genesis chapter 41, verses 14 through 57. 2 Nephi chapter 5, verse 17. And Doctrine and Covenants section 29, verses 8 through 11. End of chapter 11. Teachings of Presidents of the Church Spencer W. Kimball, Provident Living, Applying Principles of Self-Reliance and Preparedness. Scriptures relating to Chapter 11 of Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball, Provident Living, Applying Principles of Self-Reliance and Preparedness. Doctrine and Covenants, section 78, verses 13 through 14. 13. Behold, this is the preparation wherewith I prepare you, and the foundation and the ensample which I give unto you, whereby you may accomplish the commandments which are given you. 14. That through my providence, notwithstanding the tribulation which shall descend upon you, that the church may stand independent above all other creatures beneath the celestial world. Doctrine and Covenants, section 93, verse 30. All truth is independent in that sphere in which God has placed it, to act for itself, as all intelligence also. Otherwise, there is no existence. Doctrine and Covenants, section 93, verse 31. Behold, here is the agency of man, and here is the condemnation of man, because that which was from the beginning is plainly manifest unto them, and they receive not the light. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Doctrine and Covenants, section 42, verse 42. Thou shalt not be idle, for he that is idle shall not eat the bread, nor wear the garments of the laborer. Doctrine and Covenants, section 75, verse 29. Let every man be diligent in all things, and the idler shall not have place in the church, except he repent and mend his ways. Doctrine and Covenants, section 68, verses 30 through 32. 30. And the inhabitants of Zion also shall remember their labors, inasmuch as they are appointed to labor in all faithfulness. For the idler shall be had in remembrance before the Lord. 31. Now I, the Lord, am not well pleased with the inhabitants of Zion, for there are idlers among them, and their children are also growing up in wickedness. They also seek not earnestly the riches of eternity, but their eyes are full of greediness. 32. These things ought not to be, and must be done away from among them. Wherefore let my servant Oliver Cowdery carry these sayings unto the land of Zion. Doctrine and Covenants, section 56, verse 17. Woe unto you, poor man, whose hearts are not broken, whose spirits are not contrite, and whose bellies are not satisfied, and whose hands are not stayed from laying hold upon other men's goods, whose eyes are full of greediness, and who will not labor with your own hands. Doctrine and Covenants, section 115, verse 6. And that the gathering together upon the land of Zion and upon her stakes may be for a defense, and for a refuge from the storm, and from wrath when it shall be poured out without mixture upon the whole earth. Genesis chapter 41, verses 14 through 57. 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. 15. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee, that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. 17. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. 18. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. 19. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. 20. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. 21. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. 22. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk full and good. 23. And behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted, with the east wind sprung up after them. 24. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. 26. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. 27. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears, blasted with the east wind, shall be 7 years of famine. 28. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. 29. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. 30. And there shall rise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. 31. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. 32. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. 33. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. 34. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. 35. and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. 36. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. 40. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. 42. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. 43. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh, and went throughout all the land of Egypt. 47. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. 48. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. 49. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. 50. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. 52. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. 53. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. 54. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. 56. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. 57. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. 2 Nephi chapter 5 verse 17. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did cause my people to be industrious and to labor with their hands. Doctrine and Covenants, section 29, verses 8 through 11. 8. Wherefore the decree hath gone forth from the Father, that they shall be gathered in unto one place upon the face of this land, to prepare their hearts and be prepared in all things against the day when tribulation and desolation are sent forth upon the wicked. 9. For the hour is nigh, and the day soon at hand, when the earth is ripe, and all the proud and they that do wickedly shall be a stubble. And I will burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that wickedness shall not be upon the earth. 10. For the hour is nigh, and that which was spoken by mine apostles must be fulfilled, for as they spoke, so shall it come to pass. 11. For I will reveal myself from heaven with power and great glory, with all the host thereof, and dwell in righteousness with men on earth 1,000 years, and the wicked shall not stand. End of Scriptures relating to Chapter 11 of Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball, Provident Living, Applying Principles of Self-Reliance and Preparedness.